This is WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. We're recapping last night's debate between the two Democrats running for Connecticut governor. New York State is promoting pheasant hunting to help with conservation, plus a look at a marine conservation effort in Connecticut that's getting the community involved. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Caron. Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont and State Representative Josh Elliott faced off in a televised Democratic primary debate last night. WSHU's Ebong Udama has the details.
The debate offered primary voters their first and probably only chance to see the two in a head-to-head matchup. Lamont is seeking a third term. He defended his record while appealing for voter support.
It's been 7.5 years, Connecticut. We've gotten to know each other pretty well. We've been through a lot together. I think you know where my heart is, you know where I stand, and I stand with you.
Josh Elliott of Hamden is challenging Lamont from the left. He sought to make the case for a change by arguing that Lamont is too protective of the wealthy.
The fact is, I'm glad we're rowing in the same direction, but not quite the same and not quite the same velocity. We could do so much more here in Connecticut, and the fact is we have to fight for fairness up and down the board.
They clashed over whether to increase taxes on the wealthy, which Elliott supports, whether the state should regulate local speed cameras, which Lamont opposes, and whether to more strictly enforce a state ban on masked ICE agents. They also differed on unemployment benefits for striking workers. Elliott supports, Lamont opposes. And 42-year-old Elliott supported an age limit for elected officials. Lamont, who's 72, did not. Connecticut's primary election is on Tuesday, August 11th. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
The New York State Department of Environmental Conservation wants to recruit pheasant hunters to promote preservation. The New York Public News Network's Sophia Imbriaco has more.
Last month, the New York DEC released a strategic plan that, over the next decade, would shift state efforts away from trying to restore wild pheasant habitat and toward recruiting hunters. Jackie Lendrum, director of the state's Division of Fish and Wildlife, explains the DEC is aiming to promote a conservation ethic through hunting.
Once folks are outside and they're experiencing the great outdoors that we have here in New York State, and the wildlife, the habitats, these great state lands, that then they value that, right? If they're out there, they're experiencing it, they value it, they'll work to protect it.
Lendrum says many people getting into hunting are interested in connecting with where their food comes from.
One of the growing populations of new hunters that we're seeing are actually women in their mid to early 30s. And what you're seeing is that people really want to be involved and know where their food is coming from, right? And so there is nothing more natural or more organic than meat that you harvest yourself.
Since the early 20th century, pheasants have been a favorite of small game hunters in New York, and hunting them is an accessible way to get into the sport. However, New York's wild pheasant populations are at an all-time low, as New York DEC biologist and small game unit leader Joshua Stiller explains. This is largely due to habitat loss.
You know, we had a lot of areas of New York that the landscape has just changed significantly. We've lost grasslands, we've lost the habitat that would otherwise support pheasants in New York State.
As pheasant hunting remains popular, the state raises and releases over 30,000 pheasants annually on lands open to the public for hunting. The new pheasant stocking plan would increase the number of stocking locations near major population centers and promote awareness of public pheasant hunting opportunities. The state's DEC is accepting comments on the plan through July 25th. For the New York Public News Network, I'm Sophia Imbriaco.
Long Island Sound is home to a living fossil, and now you can help keep track of them all. That story is coming up. Wow.
This summer, Carnegie Hall comes to you. Carnegie Hall Live brings performances from one of the world's great stages to you, wherever you happen to be. Enjoy acclaimed orchestras, celebrated soloists, and live concerts from New York City without having to fight traffic. Listen Saturdays at 2 with an encore Thursday nights at 8. To see the full schedule, visit WSHU.org. Carnegie Hall Live, all summer long on WSHU.
Boaters saw an unusual visitor off Montauk this week, an orca whale. Campers learning how to tag sharks first saw the orca on Monday, about 10 nautical miles from the coast. Wildlife experts say the marine mammals are usually found in colder northern waters. The sighting is the first near Long Island in decades. Connecticut's age-adjusted death rate has dropped by more than 2% in the past decade. The most distinct cause of death in the state, malnutrition. It's 1.5 times higher than the national average. New York State, meanwhile, had one of the most significant drops in death rates of any state. There are major disruptions coming to the LIRR this weekend so workers can upgrade signals. The biggest changes, the Hempstead branch will shut down at 4 p.m. Friday. The Oyster Bay branch stops running at 10 p.m. on Friday. There will also be changes along the Port Jeff and Ronkonkoma lines. Check the Train Time app for all the details. Long Island Sound is home to a living fossil, the horseshoe crab. They've been around for nearly half a billion years, but today, this hardy, helmeted species faces new challenges. And there's a local effort to see how they're faring in Connecticut. I stop by a beach in Old Lyme to learn more. At the mouth of the Connecticut River is Old Lyme's Griswold Point, a gorgeous rocky beach that's crowded with visitors today, but it hasn't seen much horseshoe crab activity this summer, according to researchers with the Connecticut Audubon Society.
They're an indicator of how well our waters are doing and how healthy the species that go into the benthos and settle are doing. The more we see on our horseshoe crabs, the more we see in the surrounding ecosystem. We know these guys are settling, so they're very important species, they really are.
Emily Watling is with the Audubon Society. We're also out here with interns Pearl Lasser and Sadie Garfinkel. Here's Pearl.
Most of the time when people think about one species, like horseshoe crabs or like other species like fish and stuff, like they only think of the individual, but they're really interconnected and we need the chain to continue and to exist because we need each other.
Yeah. They're part of a huge ecosystem that we care about, and we want to know more about it. Plus, charismatic megafauna. Yep. People want to be connected to these things. You can't go and hang out with a whale, but you can hang out with a cute little horseshoe crab.
Emily's right. These guys certainly have a charismatic look, a dome shell with their legs and claws underneath. They've got 10 eyes on their body with two distinct ones on top of their shell. And they're actually not even crabs. They're more closely related to spiders. The name comes from their crustacean-like look.
So what they'll do is when they're mating, the male will hold onto the back of the female. And as they mate, what she does, she buries herself and her eggs deep in the sand. And when she's done laying her eggs, she'll drag him across and he'll fertilize the eggs. And sometimes, like I said, there'll be pile-ups of them so they can all fertilize the eggs. It's all just, the goal of every creature on this planet is to make more of itself and pass its genetics down, so.
Long Island Sound's horseshoe crab population has been in severe decline over the last two decades, averaging between a 2 and 9% loss each year. That's based on counts done by Maritime Aquarium in Norwalk, Millstone Environmental Lab in Niantic, and elsewhere. Sadie says that's why it's important to get the community involved to raise awareness.
Like Emily said, I think it's about feeling that connection to the environment. That's a big part of it. Helping people get out there and be involved, know that they can participate in science is really important. And also, I'm not a horseshoe crab expert, but they're very cool. I think of them like living fossils, and I think that it's important to understand our past, what's worked for species in the past, to understand how things can evolve in the future. So I think it's great for science.
The Audubon Society trains the public on how to tag horseshoe crabs to track their numbers and fill out a fact sheet. The data goes back to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Emily shows me how on a molted shell.
You check their feet, see if there's injuries, see if there's injuries to the top of their shell. And so we're recording if they're injured first, and then we record their size at the largest part of their shell. So usually I have calipers for this, but I just have a little ruler with me. So the largest part of their shell is right here. So this guy is, I can read, roughly like 5 inches.
You write down where you found the crab, their sex. Females have a flatter, rounder front of their shells, and a few more notes, and then it's time to tag. Emily uses a little screwdriver to make a hole in the shell.
And it's basically like a little earring. This is huge for the little guy because he's just a little one. But you would push in right here, and you push and twist until you hit this little piece here, which is basically a washer. You can go slightly not as deep if you're really struggling to get it in, but you impale and twist really, really hard. And then these actually lock in place. So you'll, when you push it in, you'll feel it lock, and it opens in the back, which is really cool.
Like Emily was talking about earlier, horseshoe crabs need to mate in shallow water and sand. But this shoreline, like much of Connecticut's coast, is pretty rocky and built out with homes. That's probably why the team hasn't seen any at this location this summer and why we end up not seeing any live ones today. But zero is still data. Connecticut banned horseshoe crab harvesting in 2023, and New York followed suit this year. Their blood is used in medical treatment testing, and fishermen use them as bait for whelk. So with the bans now in place, Emily says it will take a little time to see the change.
So we're doing it. We're getting this baseline data. And if we don't see anything this year, it's still data. We still say, okay, we saw nothing in 2026. So let's go back in 2027, 2028. We start seeing some. We're seeing the increase in this area.
So no luck on the horseshoe crabs, but the day doesn't end there. Now we're going to look for other species in the water.
It's a huge part of biodiversity sampling around here. So we do it, like I said, we do it every week. To see what species we see before and after.
And to do that, we're going to use a seine net. It kind of looks like a volleyball net, long and rectangular with posts on either side. Sadie and I walk it out about waist deep.
And when we walk down, you're gonna hold that, like drag it on the ground.
Okay.
It can feel, it's a little bit of a workout.
Yeah, the way that I'm engaging my core right now, yeah.
Little arm work for the day, arm day.
Holding either post, we pull the net tight so it's perpendicular to the floor. Then we walk it back slowly to shore. The tide is pretty high today, so Sadie says she's hopeful for a good collection.
All right, we'll start to lock in.
All right.
So you can kind of hold the pole a little bit diagonally like this. We're going to keep the net tight.
Keep it back this way? Like
yes.
This? Okay.
Drag it along to shore. Usually we've been sampling during low tide, and I mean, the net will be probably a quarter submerged.
Yeah? Okay.
We haul up the net on the sand, laying it down flat, and there are a bunch of little fish jumping around, so it's a pretty good pull. We grab what we got, put everything in a bucket of water to take a closer look.
Right. Oh, more fish. Yes!
I got two.
You got a fish?
I got two.
Here they go.
Some of the little fish we gather include killie and pipefish. We also grab a hermit crab, as well as native seaweed and grasses, which are a welcome sign to the team, as those have been depleted over the years in Long Island Sound as well. So not to brag, but the girls say I'm good luck. If you would like to get involved in the horseshoe crab tagging effort or to see other community science projects going on in your area, visit ctaudubon.org/conservationscience. Sabrina Garone, WSHU News. For the latest from around Long Island Sound, listen on the radio, online with our free app, and tune in right here to the After All Things podcast every weekday evening. We are doing a one-day pledge drive today here at WSHU, so when you contribute to the station now, your gift will be tripled thanks to generous members of our Beacon Society. So head on over to WSHU.org, and thank you so much for your support. I'm Sabrina Garone. Thanks for being with me today. We'll talk tomorrow.